thank you. Great way to start the year. A new year is exciting and welcoming for some, for they look forward to what will come their way. They're open to possibilities and even the challenges that they may face, because challenges are an opportunity to know God. But many people are much more concerned about the future, particularly with the state of the economy, healthcare, housing market, job market, education, and even global warming. One of the reasons we sense and in some and can see a tranquility and peace in them is because these people dedicate their lives to knowing God, abiding with Him as often as possible. Even those who spend hours in communion with God, but do not turn within as often, even if you spend 30 minutes, 20 minutes, and you do that religiously, you will get a sense of God in your life. You will get glimpses. At some point, the glimpses will not be enough because we want more. We all want to know the good of God. We all want to know His heaven and His kingdom. So we have to get off the fence. We have to get off the fence and turn within. Those who study metaphysics of some sort must understand that we get from divine spirit what we are willing to put in. It's just like anything in life. If you want to be a musician, you must practice and practice and practice. If you want to have a family, be married, have children, then you have to give of yourselves. You have to work at developing those relationships. The same is true with God. If we want a relationship with Him, then we must work at it. Most importantly, we must study, read, and then put the books away and practice the presence of God. But we must also be patient and wait for God to teach us, to guide us, to instruct us, and to direct us. We have to do our part of letting go of the external world by leaving it alone. We can't perfect the external world because it can't be done. The external world is human consciousness. It is human consciousness that has created the world that we are witnessing. Yet, if we turn within constantly to be given wisdom and spiritual understanding, the world can't touch us. It is our own hesitation and trusting that which we cannot see, feel, hear, taste, that keeps us from surrendering to God. The outer world was created on the belief of good and evil. When our attention is strictly out here in the world and we are seeking happiness and success based on what the world gives, eventually the other shoe will fall and we will face challenges and in some cases will face misery. There is no fairness or equality in the world out here. In God, however, we have access to all that the Father is. We could have heaven on earth. We were not created as John or Bill or Ellen or Maria. We were created spiritual beings by our Father God. Our purpose for being is to be the instrument for God to express and manifest so that others may know Him and be inspired to turn within in stillness. through us, God touches the hearts and souls of those around us. Jesus was known as the way shower, but he did a lot of spiritual work first. He didn't rest on his laurels, assuming that he had arrived. No, he had humility, as was witnessed when he was called good. His response was very telling. He said, "Why dost thou call me good? There is only one good, and that is my Father in heaven." He never took credit for anything at all, and he always thanked God for having heard him. He knew that it is the Father within that doeth the works. David Elkins says, "The first 30 years of Jesus' life has sometimes been known as the silent years. For aside from Luke's recording of the incident in the temple and other legends, there are no written accounts. During those 30 years, the creative activity of God was operative within him, preparing him for a 3-year ministry that would revolutionize the world." We too may model ourselves, our life, after the life of the way shower. We too can most effectively build a base for our spiritual undertakings by waiting patiently in the silence for the presence of God. The awareness of our oneness with the Father is evident as we realize in him we live and move and have our being. We need not strive and strain, working with might and power, but rest in the flow of the Spirit and allow God to work through us. If we can be faithful to these silent times upon the Lord, he will manifest the divine adjustments, the needed insights, and the perfect answers. But for many, it is fear that keeps them stuck, where they wonder if there is a God, and if there is, why is there such suffering and poverty in the world? Why can't God make it better? Why can't he just give us his kingdom? Isn't he the one power, the one and only power? God is the one and only power in the world. The external world is a temporary appearance that is based on the emotional thinking of its inhabitants, human beings. God knows nothing about temporary appearances. Temporary appearances eventually return to their nothingness. As real as it feels, the human condition and the kingdom of God will never meet. I would say that human fear is the main reason that so many feel they are separate and apart from God. The word fear in Webster's dictionary is defined as an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by an anticipation or awareness of some danger. There are those who fear God and are quick to point to Bible verses that say that we must fear him. Again, Webster's dictionary. It also defines fear as profound reverence and awe towards God. The Metaphysical Dictionary says of fear that it implies reverence or respect for the law of God. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he had done for you." The word heart in this verse represents the whole of consciousness or inner source of life, which should be dedicated to the Lord. From a metaphysical view, when we fear God, we are showing the profound reverence and respect that we have toward him. From a human perspective, when we fear God, we are afraid that he will do some harm to us. There is no reason to fear God. God is our strength and our refuge. God is the one power. It is we who give power to people, places, and things out here in the world. When we accept the power that is not of God, but of something we consider to be evil, we have created a belief, an appearance that sets us apart from God, His law, and His truth. We must not give in to the emotions of fear and evil. No one or nothing can hurt us when our consciousness is filled with God. Remember that one with God is a majority. But we can't just say the words, "I don't believe in evil." We must show that we do not believe in evil by turning to God and establishing a meditation practice that is consistent and ever-present with us. Our confidence does not come from us or learning how to fight with words or otherwise. Our confidence comes from our Father God. In the Bible we are told, "The Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil no more." And in John 14:27, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus showed us a new path to life eternal. He is the bridge between God's kingdom and individual awareness. He taught that whatever is of the Father is also true of us. He demonstrated over and over again that a consciousness of God, God's awareness, is the only true life we have. He gave no thought to appearances. He had no fear of anything. Pontius Pilate, the recognized power all over in his jurisdiction, could ultimately put someone to death. Jesus did not recognize him as a power, for he said, and I'm paraphrasing, "You have no power over me except the Father given by my Father from above." Many people get so caught up with personalities, potential problems, and challenges that they are exhausted just thinking about these things and how they will affect their lives. There are a lot of people that spend a lot of time just thinking about what might happen, what might go wrong. They think of the worst possible scenarios. I know people that apply for jobs and then worry and worry because they think they won't get hired. After a job interview, they begin to analyze the questions, the facial expressions and body language of the interviewer to justify their view that they're not going to get the job. We are our worst enemy. We secretly sabotage ourselves on a regular basis, and we don't even realize it, but our thinking makes it so. We think the worst of ourselves and others because deep in our subconscious, we want to prepare ourselves for disappointment. Have you ever met a grumpy person? One who doesn't like you? Some of us have been that grumpy person. This is just fear. We reject before we are rejected. We think that this is a way of protecting ourselves. Yet all we are doing is giving power over something or someone over us. We can get hurt if we believe that someone or something can hurt us. But let's be clear, this is not about the others, it is about our living from a consciousness of duality and deviating from God's principle and law. I suspect that there are people who find it very hard to believe that spirit is power. They find it easier to believe in what they can touch and see, hear, smell, and speak to. This is why man seems more powerful than God. Over the ages and since the beginning of time, man has shown a great capacity to do harm. But there are those who have demonstrated that it is not them who do the great things, but the Father within them. God is not just invisible. He is the creator of our being and of the heaven that is waiting for us. In fact, he is the only creator. But our fear of a vengeful God keeps us stuck, not willing to take the next step. You know, God didn't leave us. We left God. But God is still always with us. Therefore, the one power in the universe is always within us, not outside of us. At times, we act as if God is outside of us, but he isn't. God is our true being. He lives within. Listen to what it says in the Aquarian Gospel according to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "There is a silence where the soul may meet its God, and there the font of wisdom is, and all who enter are immersed in light and filled with wisdom, love, and power." It also says, "Men carry with them all the time the secret place where they can meet their God." It matters not where men abide, on a mountaintop, in deepest vow, in matters of trade, or in the quiet home. They may at once, at any time, fling wide the door and find the silence, find the house of God. It is the silence. We carry God with us at all times and in all places, as well as in all states of mind and mood. God within us in the silence. At any time, at any moment, we can turn quietly within to be with our Father, to abide with him. Jesus' teaching included three main things. First, that wisdom and knowledge are of God. The knowledge and wisdom is about God's truth, law, and principle. Secondly, that we must get spiritual understanding of God's knowledge and wisdom. And third, we must apply the wisdom and knowledge to our everyday being. In applying truth, law, and principle, we are able to prove God to ourselves, because we can then feel him and see him and hear him, for the God activity would be functioning all around us. I was once an organizational trainer, and we trainers used to say that the best way to learn is by doing. We can have all kinds of intellectual knowledge, but unless we apply it, we never know how it actually works. Parents know that babies can walk and talk only if we let them do it. Yes, they will fall. They will have difficulty pronouncing words, but by doing, they are practicing, and practice makes perfect. And this premise is true at any age. Recently, I saw a story on the television about a woman that at the age of 80, she learned to skydive. And she did it again at the age of 85. My aunt and I are the same age. We celebrated our 50th birthday together. So when we turned 60, and I'm not going to tell you when that was, she called me up and she said, "Hey, I have a great idea. How about if we go skydiving?" I said, "That's wonderful. You skydive and I will see you fall down, come down on the ground." And you know, she was skydiving and I didn't even watch her. The point is that we learn by doing. The more we practice the presence of God, the more we're going to experience him in our everyday life. And you will be so surprised at times that your heart will be filled with this wonderful joy, because you will know that was God, not luck, not coincidence, not because I'm special or not special. No, that was God. The more we apply truth, the more spiritual understanding and wisdom is going to come through. Slowly we go from seeing the world through the lens of appearances to being a witness to God's truth. But it all depends on us. Just like the prodigal son, we can choose to believe that there are powers beyond our control who determine the quality of the life that we have. Or we can establish a practice of being still and quiet to know and experience the beauty, the peace, and the love of God's kingdom. Luke 12:32 tells us, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom." When I was a Catholic, I believed, because this is what I was taught, that I had to be a good person for God to love me. At times, I thought I was being punished for the mistakes that I had made. And I suspect that there probably are millions of people today who still have that belief. This God of revenge and punishment exists only in mind, in our beliefs, for there is no such God. Jesus told us that for this cause I came, to bear witness to truth. This is our real purpose also. We are here so that we can witness God express and manifest, so the world can know him. You and I and every living soul are the beloved of God. He only knows us as his beloved child in whom he is most pleased. There is nothing that we can do, we can say, that will turn God away. For he knows who we really are, a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe. As we enter this new year, we need to prepare ourselves to know our Father. The first thing we need to do is to make God a priority. He should not be an afterthought, or something that we do when we have free time, or something that we do when we get in trouble. We need to turn within consistently and constantly, if only for a few moments at a time, for God will lead us to all truth. Secondly, we need to read spiritual material so that our consciousness can be shifted from the outer to the inner. We need to trust God and have faith that we are the child of God and that it is his good pleasure to give us his kingdom. A new year is a good time to contemplate where we are and where we are going. The preparation for rethinking how we want to live our life is an important step. The question we may want to ask ourselves is, do we want a spiritual life with divine spirit? As it says in the Bible, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." The answers will come when we are still enough and quiet enough. For the Christ who abides within our own being will guide us and direct us and inform us. It is our time to claim our spiritual heritage by turning within to know God and to do his will. Scripture says, "Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend." In 2013, let us move forward with God's wisdom to live not by our senses, because our senses are stumbling blocks. That which is invisible to the eye but alive in the heart is a stepping stone. And so it is. Will you please join me for our closing meditation? If you feel comfortable, please close your eyes, relax your bodies. Just let go of whatever has been consuming you. Know that you are the beloved of God. Nothing can ever change that. He will never leave us. He will always be ready to respond. But we must be still. We must be quiet. We must let go. We must not ask for anything. We must be grateful for His presence always with us. We must let Him lead the way. Let us just be still. Father, we are ever grateful for your love, for your peace, for always responding to our need, for guiding us. We know that you will never leave us, and we know that we have work to do. And it is our goal in 2013 to practice, practice, and practice so that we may know you and do your will and your will only. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines His face upon you. The Lord is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you life eternal. Amen.